أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته You're welcome to today's episode of Everyday Muslim Your every Saturday program It's your 1 hour that refreshes you It's you know rejuvenates you subhanAllah It makes you prepared for the week you know for the following week And that's because on Everyday Muslim, what we do is address the misconceptions on Islam. We try our utmost best to foster peaceful coexistence and do our best to guide each other, the Everyday Muslim, on this journey of Islam all the way back to Jannah, right? That's the goal. The goal is Jannah. And we need to constantly work together, hold each other's hands, strive together in this jihad until we return to our Lord, Him placed with us, and we placed with Him, and that's the goal. And so I welcome you to join me on this ride. I'll be in the driver's seat till 12 noon, inshallah ta'ala. Today on the show, I did promise last week, we had a huge, subhanAllah, you know, we planned, Allah planned, and Allah's the best of planners. We did plan something huge for you. Unfortunately, the guests couldn't, you know, meet up with us. SubhanAllah, she tried her utmost to join, but it wasn't possible. So I did make a promise that we'll bring the topic back. And that's because we think it is germane. We think it's important that we all, as we are gearing up to set our New Year resolutions and think this and think that and winding down for the year 2023, you know, how about you decide to do something different in the coming year if you truly want that you know beautiful Nigeria that you want. And so we're talking about integrity, and that's the hallmark of good leadership and citizenship. Today inshallah ta'ala, we have our guest. He's a regular on the show, alhamdulillah. He's an ustaz, he's a scholar, he's been with us on different walking us through different sessions in the past. Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari. He's the imam and director at Daru Saada Islamic Center in Ota Ogun State. He's also the Quran tutor of the university, Crescent University at Abeokuta, also in Ogun State. He'll be the one to work with us today, inshallah ta'ala, to walk us through. Hajja sent her sincere apologies. She's unable to join us today for this topic. Imam, salamu alaikum, sir. Are you here?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Imam, I can't hear you, sir. Hello.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me now?
I think I can hear you faintly. Hello, sir.
Hello, assalamu
alaikum. Yeah, this is way better. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's good to have you here.
Alhamdulillah, it's my pleasure being with you again.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I mean, Imam, you know, this topic for me, it's personal to me, and that's because a lot of times we think that the word integrity is only reserved for the saints, the angels, the prophets, it's something unattainable. It's something for, you have to be extra, you have to be all that to have that thing called integrity. And yet, in my opinion, I think it's something every human being should have, right? And we continue to work on ourselves to ensure that it's top-notch, it's up there. So I think what we'd like to do is, first things first, what exactly does it mean to have integrity on a very, you know, low level, how shall I say, you know, dummy, anyone that is tuning in that doesn't understand, nothing big, no big grammar yet, let's not go into the Quran or the Sunnah yet, just what does integrity mean, what does it mean, so that we are on the same page, we are carrying our audience along, everybody understands when we talk integrity, this is what we are actually referring to, before we then start to look at examples from the Quran and the Sunnah and people that have lived with us. So let's just set the tone. What does it mean when you say this person has integrity? What are we talking about?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. When we talk about integrity, it simply means the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles that one adheres to uncompromisingly. You don't compromise, you stay glued to it. We can say integrity is the willingness to do what is right. And we can also describe integrity to mean the state of being undivided, being whole. In fact,
Imam, I've lost you for a second there.
Act to being principled.
Right. Imam, you know,
it's no secret.
Please go ahead.
We are facing integrity deficits in this age and time. It's no secret that we are facing integrity deficits in this age and time. Is the primary way of earning public trust. If you want the public to trust you, then the simple way of going about that is through integrity. But today it's the other way around. People are with no principles. They compromise so easily, all just because they're after a fortune. And they don't know that no matter what you earn, it will not last long. A name will last longer than you yourself.
You'll outlive us. So, Imam, when you were talking, I held on to two buzzwords. I heard the word willingness. So, you know, you have to be willing to, you have to make a choice, you have to make a commitment to have that thing called integrity. I also underlined another buzzword. You said uncompromisable. So you don't shift. You know, you have this principle, you believe this is the right thing to do, you stick with it, irrespective exactly. of whatever pressures that, you know, you're placed under, subhanAllah. And I think it's a nice way you've put it, and I'm sure in the course of the day we'll come up with a lot of examples. Now, I would like us to hone in on the leaders first. Fortunately, the topic encompasses both the leader and the citizenship, right? So it's all of us should have or possess this top characteristic called integrity. So let's look at the leaders first. Many leaders in politics, business and professions are mainly seen as power-driven and money-driven, or they are corrupt or opportunistic, autocratic or morally unreliable. Now, citizens and employees, students and parents, as well as believers of different religions, are thirsting and crying out for leaders with integrity. Now, does this imply that finding a good leader with integrity is rare? What are the distinguishing qualities of a leader with integrity? How do we identify, how do we know this person indeed has integrity? And I think with this, you'll be able to shed some light, share examples that we can relate with in terms of, because now we need to look inwards. I know elections are passed, we already have these leaders in place. Perhaps for the next elections, for the next decision making processes at the office, choosing the next manager and all of that, perhaps someone will gain insight and understand what to look out for when we talk about integrity. So let's hone in on the leaders this time around. Are these people rare? Is it rare to find a leader with integrity?
It's quite very rare. Like I said initially, I said it's no secret that we are facing integrity deficits in this age and time.
Indeed.
Both among the young and the old. This topic about integrity is not just about electioneering. It's not just about, we might be in the season of electioneering, we might not be in the season of electioneering, it doesn't matter. Integrity regarding leadership, it's a day-to-day thing. When we talk about leadership, we have leadership at home.
True.
The father is a leader. The mother, too, is a leader. We have leadership in the community. We have leadership at workplaces. We have companies. We have establishments constituting leaders year in, year out.
True.
Everyone, this is end of fiscal year, end of year for a lot of companies.
True.
A lot of decision making will be made, change of leadership will be made, and things like that. A lot of people are aspiring to become that new leader of the company, and so on. But do they have what it takes? What's the attribute? Number one thing that we must find in a leader is honesty. As a leader with integrity, you must be honest. There must be honesty. There must be contentment. When we talk about contentment, richness, being wealthy, is not being wealthy in terms of how much have you gathered, how much do you have in your coffers, in your account. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made us understand that wealth, contentment is about, wealth is about contentment of the mind, human nafs. Contentment of the mind. No matter how rich you may be, if you are not contented in the contented in the mind, you will never see yourself as having anything. And if you have small, you will be like you've had the entire world.
Indeed.
Contentment is the key word, is the key attribute for anyone that wants to attain leadership, for us to know that this person is full of integrity. Another one is truthfulness, my sister. Truthfulness. You must be truthful. Then there must be probity. Probity is all about the quality of being completely honest. You know, totally obedient to the rules and regulations in the society or whatever establishment you are occupying.
Right.
Talking about a fair play, there must be fair play. Is one of the good qualities of attributes of integrity. Whoever that doesn't have fair play is not having integrity, lacks integrity. Faithfulness is also part of it. And you know one thing? A leader with integrity must be upright. He must be upright. Uprightness brings reliability, makes you reliable. You know? There are sometimes you'll be made to compromise in things you want to do. No. You must believe in what you believe in yourself.
Okay.
What you believe in, you must believe in it. What you stand for, believe in it, be upright, and be consistent with it.
Right. So you're not one that do as I say, not do as I do. That, what you preach is what you practice.
You'll be pushed around easily. People will just push you around easily and just go this way, you go. You go this way, you know, you go. You know, you must have clear principles. Clear principles that people would understand, they can call you, make you accountable to, and, you know, be ready to give explanations where necessary.
Right.
These are some of the qualities of attributes of someone with integrity. But today, subhanallah, it's the other way around. Ask anyone that is going for any leadership position, what is it going there to do?
There's an agenda. Agenda must agenda.
He wants to pack things, you know, is an opportunity for wealth creation. An opportunity to hammer, as they call it. So these are issues. May Allah assist us.
I mean, so now, you know, this is quite scary, because what you've said, you've sort of affirmed that it's rare to find a leader with this integrity that we've talked about. Because when you, even when you are listing all the qualities and attributes, I was just thinking to myself, wow, tall order. We must find this saint. You know, Jesus must come back. If not, we're not going to find this person that you've just described. SubhanAllah. Off the records, right? Is this thing called integrity? Is this something you can learn? Can it be learned? Is it inborn? Is it, you know, is this foundational? Is it something that was, you know, you inherited from your parents? Well, what exactly? Where can you pluck this integrity? If there's a dearth of it, if it's missing, and it's a wild, you know, is it a wild goose chase to find this integrity, or is it something easily imbibe, something you can learn, something you can go to a school to learn, you know?
It can be imbibed. It can be imbibed, it can be learned, and, you know, it can be, you can also inherit it one way or the other. What do I mean by inheriting it?
Okay.
What you find your father is doing, What you find inherent in a society is one way or the other inherited by the coming generation. One way or the other, because it's a direct training. What you see, the coming generation, mostly when kids are young, they believe more in what they see, what you do, than what you say.
Indeed, they actually they observe and they implement what they observe. So it's very
exactly,
yes, very true.
For example, a father telling a child that never lie, it's never good to lie,
right?
Don't tell lies. And a couple a while after that, someone came looking for the man, and he told the child, tell the person I'm not at home. What has it taught to the child? It's just a way you've directly countered what you have taught, the moral value you gave that child, not to lie. The child will not abide by what you have said, but what you have done.
Indeed.
That action is what the child will inherit from you. So integrity can be inherited, can be imbibed, can be learned. If it is infused into the training, the curriculum, but no, it's not just about a curriculum thing. What do you say about a school that is teaching integrity under citizenship?
Right.
Now,
right.
Citizen civic education.
Right.
You have integrity, but when it's time for a primary school common entrance, the child will be taught the answers to the exam. Even there is no integrity in acquiring certificate.
SubhanAllah.
So a child that has no integrity regarding the certificate he has acquired through the primary level, the secondary level,
university,
how do you expect him to showcase integrity when he gets to his workplace?
SubhanAllah.
He has been trained all his life through non-integrity.
True.
Dishonesty. Lack of principle. Because no matter what he has been taught, even if he had been taught voluminous books teaching all these moral values, all the actions, the salient points he had been able to pick from the school. We've seen a situation a parent will go to school to fight the owner of the school, you know, for not engaging in malpractice. You can imagine that. That my son must not fail.
Right.
Because all this principle of yours, integrity of yours, that you are putting up, you're a Muslim, you're a this and that, they've said you will do it and I can see you're doing it. You are not teaching the kids the answers to, my son must not fail this exam.
Right.
You can imagine. So what do you expect of such a society?
What do you garbage expect? In, garbage out. You know, what you garbage give is what out. You get.
Garbage in, garbage out. So if we learn it the right way, we imbibe it in the kids by we acting it. We are acting it, we are saying it, we are acting it, we are leading by examples, then it will be a norm in the society. But the norm is no more a norm. It's the other way around.
SubhanAllah. Now you've literally thrown stone at parents that are involved in this malpractice, and then they come back to turn around and start shouting, injustice here and there, this leader lacks integrity, whereas they have, homegrown, they are the ones literally undoing whatever, should be done. So you've mentioned, technically, you've indicted parents, you've indicted teachers, you've indicted schools, and this is where these are the avenues where we should have actually...
I've not indicted teachers more.
Okay.
You can imagine a teacher employed to teach.
Right.
From maybe 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Right.
And the teacher would not engage in anything meaningful. And you would hear, this child is not doing well, we need extra lesson.
Right.
For the parents to pay more.
Right.
You get me? What have you used the quality time you've been entrusted with? What have you used it for to imbibe in that child?
but because you want to get more. Some of us have used our quality time that we've been engaged in to do other things, marketing goods, you know, be busy on social media,
right?
Not delivering what is expected of us. And we claim integrity, we are abusing the leaders.
And we would expect our salaries to be paid for what we didn't do, the work
we didn't do. And when salaries are not paid, we'll be the first to complain that we've not gotten salaries. Have you ever complained any day that you owe your employer job, you owe your employer some hours that you didn't pay up, that you're getting money for what you didn't do?
Subhanallah.
These are issues we are complaining here and there of our leaders, but we are a reflection of what we have. What do you talk about, you know, this Andy Work people, you know, a bricklayer?
Ustaz, don't go there. Let's not open that kind of worms. Ustaz, we'll not finish today. let's not go there. The mechanics, the tailors, the subhanallah, the list is endless. Let's not even open that
kind. In every field, there is need for integrity. What about, when you talk about doctors now, in the field of medicine, something else is wrong with somebody, you are diagnosing him for something else because you want him to pay more. Subhanallah. You know, taking out organs of people unknown to them because you want to enrich yourself. You know, children being swapped in the hospitals by nurses, you know. Where is the integrity? The system rots. It stinks here and there. May Allah salvage us.
Ameen, ya
Allah may be seriously sought.
I mean, subhanAllah. And you know, when you said, may Allah aid us, and I just want us to go into the Quran very quickly. In chapter 13 of the Noble Quran, verse 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily Allah does not change a people's condition unless they change their inner selves. Now, if we contemplate this verse from the Quran, what are other aspects besides integrity that we must address to experience this divine intervention that we want in Nigeria?
Talking about other things we need to address, yes, Allah talked about إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change the condition of people until they change that evil they are doing. When they change that evil, then Allah returns them back upon goodness. Allah has given us different things, has given us the manual, has given us the way to go. What are the things we need to do? That all this has been explained. We have the manual. We have the practical guide through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much are we implementing them? Apart from integrity issue, leadership is not just about integrity alone. It's all about competence. We tend to forget about competence. We mention integrity alone. If someone lacks competence, no matter how much he's full of integrity, yes, he can still guard something. He's honest, he's truthful, he's he will ensure things are not lost.
True.
How can he ensure the growth of what he has been, what has been kept in his care, the positive growth of it? That's about competence. You know, how does he audit what he is asked to lead upon? When we talk about auditing is not just about auditing money.
Looking retrospectively, you know,
how do you screen the activities of people? No, this is not what you are meant to do. This is what you ought to do. This and that. If you lack competence in this, you can't. You just be looking at them. Yes, they are busy. 8 to 2 o'clock, 8 to 4 o'clock. They are busy. They are at work. Are they doing the right thing? As a leader, can you checkmate this? Do you have the competence? Are they doing what is right? Or they are actually using that time to even siphon, subhanAllah. You know, where is it? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أُسْنِدَ الْأَمَانَةِ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهَا فَانْتَذِرُ السَّاعَةِ. When trust is being given to those that lack competence in it, then you should expect the end of time. the world will come to an end. When they lack competence, so the two must go together. Right. Integrity and competence. A Muslim must be found in the foremost regarding integrity and competence over whatever you're doing. You must be competent enough. You must be ready, you must be able to train. Well, a leader must be able to train those he's leading upon. This is, they are not doing it right. This is how to do it. It's a different thing doing it right, doing the right thing. You will be doing the right thing at the wrong time. You will be doing the right way, the right thing in the wrong way. You get what I mean?
Absolutely.
A leader must be able to spot out all this. And this has to do not only with integrity, but additionally with competence.
Imam, you just said something about this competence you threw into the equation. It's a bit worrisome. Are you saying that when I'm invited to come and do the minister for tourism, for example, I should turn it down because I don't have the competence, even though I have this huge integrity?
Exactly. If you don't have the competence, you shouldn't. You should deny it. You should decline. Imagine somebody being told to come be an imam. Let's use that as an example.
Very true.
The imam, you come and be the imam. We can see you are honest, you're truthful, you're this and that. You know, you don't compromise things. You will not allow things be stolen.
Right.
Yes, is that all what imamship is about?
But you can't differentiate a ba from a ta.
You can't differentiate anything. You can't uplift them morally. You can't uplift people intellectually. You cannot take care of anything regarding their spirituality. You don't know how to teach them this is the right from the wrong. Then how are you qualified to be? So in such a situation, you decline. It's not just about the nomenclature. I am the imam of this. It's not just about the nomenclature. I am the minister of this. I am the distinct of this. Remember your accountability before Allah. What would you say is your contribution to the growth of that establishment, of that company, of that office that you've been appointed to within your reign, during the time of your reign? What will you tell Allah? Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. That's what Sayyidina Umar said. Bring yourself to account
before
you be made to account of your activities on the day of judgment.
This is the audit you talked about.
What
this
impact am I making? What impact? What positive impact am I making here? You know? Allah's holy sought.
SubhanAllah. I'm going to go on a quick break, right? When we come back, we'll open the phone line so we can take reactions from people. I still have loads of questions for you because you are touching on things, and I'm actually looking at myself and imagining certain situations that I found myself and how, you know, we'll come back to that when we come back from this break. Let's take a quick nasheed break. We'll be right back.
Allah, I wanna thank you for the good life. I wanna wake up in the morning with the sun, wear a smile, go out and have some fun. Gonna take away the worries on my mind, oh, put them on one side. 'Cause every day's like a brand new story with our written lines, and no matter the weather, it's gonna be alright. I know my life ain't perfect, but I don't have to worry, 'cause I've got all that I need right here in my life. I know my life ain't perfect, but
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, it is Everyday Muslim right here on WFM 91.7. SubhanAllah, the phone lines are open. You can join us, contribute, share with us an instance where you've been challenged or your integrity has been threatened. What did you do? How did you get out of it? Did you stick to your guns or did you shift? 07000-917-917 is the number to call. 07000-917-917. Of course, if you do place your call, you need to mute your handset or turn down the volume of the radio set, whichever one. And of course, tell us your name, your location, and you know your contribution. Alternatively, you can send us SMS or WhatsApp to 07031-756-537. 07031-756-537. Imam Abu Labiba is still here walking us through how to attain or how to include integrity into the mix, uphold integrity as much as possible, either as a leader or as a citizen. And Imam, I want to take you up on, I as a citizen with integrity, I'm in the midst of people with a mix of it. And so, you know, sometimes when we as individuals act contrary to our beliefs, our policies and our principles, we always have excuses, right? It's one situation that led to it. There was one pressure or the other. How can we uphold our integrity in the face of ethical dilemmas or challenging situations? And I would like to share a real life example. You're in a space where you know the right thing to do. Everybody around you is doing the wrong thing. You can't beat them. You've got to join them. Or you keep quiet. You stay aloof, stay in your corner. But then the evil still gets done. What should be your own attitude towards this? Do you get out of such organization? Do you whistleblow? Do you go all out to report or change? No, how do you handle this as an individual?
This common slogan of if you can't beat them, join them. You join them,
right?
Evil.
Subhanallah.
It's evil. Evil will keep spreading, and when evil is found, and you feel you can't beat evil, then you join the evil. Then we have more evils. Everyone becomes an evildoer. That's not the position of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran," whoever amongst you sees something detestable, something not worthy, "falyughayyirhu biyadihi." The Prophet gave us three options, depending on your capacity, depending on your position. Every one of us fall in either of these three. We must fall in one of them. If you are in the position of leadership, you are the leader, you are the one in control, then this number one is about you. He said, you change it with your hand. You take action right immediately to stop it. You are the leader. You are the one in charge. Then you stop it right immediately.
Right.
Either through law. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Usru akhaka zaliman aw madhluman." Help your brother that has been oppressed and the oppressor. The companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "We understand how we can help the oppressor. The oppressed.
Right.
But how about the oppressor? How do we help the oppressor?" He said, "You should assist him to stop his oppression so that he will not continue with it. Assist him to stop the wrongdoing he's doing so that he will not continue with it." So if as a leader you can find somebody engaging in evil acts, then what do? You change it with your hand.
Right, because you have the authority, you have the power, you can make that change, right?
Exactly. If you are not the leader, then option two comes in. What's the option two the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us? He said, "If fa'in lam tastati', if you cannot do the first one, fa'in lam yastati',
If you cannot do, if the person cannot do the first one, then you should change it with your tongue by speaking up. That's whistle blowing. You speak up, report the case. You have, for example, you have somebody in your house engaging in Yahoo Yahoo. You know, you have somebody in your house that's a fraudster.
Right.
You know, and you say, well, since I'm not the one,
he has not cleared my account. What's
well,
my own?
I just need to keep quiet. Then you are aiding and abetting evil.
Right.
You can't stop him, but you can report him to those that can stop him. Then do that. After you have called him to you've called his attention to it, you've tried to guide him, tell him the right thing to do and what not to do, then he refuses to listen. Then do the necessary thing by speaking up.
Sure.
Speak up. If you are in a position like scholars now in the society we find ourselves in, what the role of scholars is to speak up. They can change it with their hands. People in government are to change with their hands, but scholars are to speak up and speak against evil. Then if you still find yourself in a position that you cannot speak against it, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should detest it. Go against it even with your mind. And he said, وَذَلِكَ دَعْفُ الْإِيمَانِ. But that one is the weakest of faith.
Indeed.
So it means even going against evil, standing upright upon our integrity, ensuring the truth is upheld in the society, is an act of faith. Is an act of faith. Changing evil to good is an act of faith. Keeping quiet on evil when you see it shows how weak your faith is, your iman is.
Imam, see, what you just said now, you know what, just before the show started, there was a chit chat in the studio and it was something to do with children of school age that are not in school. The government will go after such parents, right? And so I just jokingly said, would they come into my house and come and grab me if I don't take my children to school, right? Just out of it was a banter, right? However, where do you draw the lines? If I, as a neighbor, see this neighbor of mine whose kids are at home not going to school, where do you draw the curtain between whistleblowing for good and, you know, mind your business? A Muslim is the one who minds his business. Should I be reporting such a parent to the government and say, oh, by the way, I noticed there's a house about 4 or 5 kids of school going age and I've seen them in the house for months and, you know, the adults in the house go out and come back, but these kids are home all day. Should I be reporting such? Isn't that crossing the line? You know, is where do I, you know, as a Muslim, aren't I supposed to mind my business and face my front? Where do you draw the curtains in that?
Yes, there is, it's well established that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Min uslam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi." One of the best practice of the deen of the Muslim is that it drops off what does not concern him. It's well established.
True.
And at the same time, Islam talks about changing evil. Then the yardstick is this: when something, the evil of something, will be generational, the effect wouldn't be on one person alone. It will touch all and sundry. We don't keep quiet. You don't say that does not concern you. It concerns you.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes.
It concerns you. So right. In such a situation, you have to step in.
Okay.
But sometimes stepping in may take different dimensions.
Okay.
For example, like the example you brought, I've been a child not going to school and the likes. Have I made findings to know why the child is not even going to school?
Okay.
Do I know what reason? Is it on health grounds? Is it on financial basis? Is it on, you know, some people, when a child eats, that's when the child will be able to cope in class. Some might not have eaten for the past 2 days.
True.
And that's the reality. To keep the integrity of the home and the distance of the home, the parents may decide to keep the child inwardly so that their secrets don't spread around.
True.
Have we made innocent research into what is wrong? If they need genuine help, sincere help from us, have we rendered the help before we start calling a third party?
Okay.
So that's part of what is expected of us. If they need food, have I given them food? If the child needs financial assistance in school, the child has not been able to pay school fees, he has been driven off school, and I have the capacity of paying the school fees, have I taken up the responsibility of paying for that child's, sponsoring that child's education? So it's not just about speaking up, just shouting and shouting no. It's about making sincere efforts, genuine efforts, based on the situation on ground.
Right.
So you make a good intervention. You intervene sincerely, goodly, to ensure a positive result.
Right. Imam, just to close, as we draw closer to the end of today's show, I want us to return to where we started from, integrity being the hallmark for good leadership and citizenship. And I just want us to sort of itemize, or shall I say, honing on the essence of integrity and how it contributes to the overall well-being of a society. I'm hoping that if anyone's just joining us now and they take this portion of the show, it would impact them and impact, you know, those around them as well. So how do we prioritize getting this integrity into ourselves, ensuring that we go all out, find it wherever you need to go and find it. If you need to go to a school to learn it, go and learn it. If you need to relocate to a society where there's some sanity and there's integrity is the order of the day, you might need to do that. Move away from that society that is pulling you down and changing you from good to bad. I mean, some of us came from backgrounds where, you know, it was the practice in our homes. Our parents had high standards of integrity. However, we've moved to a places where they don't even value integrity, and so before you know it, we're, you know, our own integrity is taking a downward slope. So how do we let anyone just joining now to understand what integrity is and how it contributes to the overall well-being of a society? Imam, just before you respond, and for those of you just joining us, please feel free to call us, give us a call, 07000-917-917 number to call to be a part of the show. Tell us in what instances you've demonstrated integrity, if you've ever been challenged or pressured to lower your standards or look in away from, you know, look in the other direction when an evil is being perpetrated. How did you survive? How did you cope? How did that impact on you? If you don't want to call, you can send us SMS or WhatsApp, 07031756537 is the number to call. It is the Everyday Muslim. Imam.
All right. For someone that has not been trained with integrity initially, number one, he needs to set values for himself and understand those values. What to be your guide for the values you want to set for yourself, and understand each of those values and why you need to uphold to those values. So how do you set those values? Because, you know, everyone can call anything a value.
Sure.
Everyone can call anything a norm, you understand? Based on the yardstick of everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a good model.
Right.
Understand, set up your values through the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
No.
Set up a good value.
understand the rudiments of each of those values and why you need to put up those things. When you do this, it helps you to move on.
Okay.
If you want to get involved in anything or anywhere, understand the set values for that society or for that company or for that establishment or anything you want to join.
Right.
If their values are in line with the values you have set for yourself and you have acquired, then you can join. If their values is in contrast to what you have given yourself, you have been, you've trained yourself upon based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it's in contrast, then stay clear. Even up to the level of choosing your friends, those you associate with, those you flock with, those you are always in their
company.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin," always be in the midst of the truthful, righteous people.
True.
So because their values still will affect
it, will
you.
Rub off,
it's just
indeed.
Like somebody, it's like somebody going to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave example of someone going to the home of a fragrance, a perfume, where perfume is being sold. You know, if he spends, no matter how little the time he spends in there, even if he doesn't buy any of the perfume sold, if he comes out, what happens? The fragrance will be perceived on him. People will be asking me, "Oh, what kind of perfume do you use?" I didn't use any perfume. Well, but you have a good fragrance because it's coming out from the house.
Imam,
the
let me cut in. Let's take this call. We have a call.
All right.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. Assalamu alaikum. Hello. You're true to us. Oh shoot, please call back, subhanAllah. We are waiting to take your call. Imam, just before you go on, I'm sorry for interrupting. We have a few messages to take. Good morning, madam. We have another caller. Let's take this call first. Hello, good morning, assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Network, you did me strong team last week. Don't try me this week. I will come for you. All right, Imam, we have this. Good morning, madam. Are Islamic values compatible with the demand of the constitution on the duties of Nigerian citizens? Are Islamic values compatible with the demand of the constitution on the duties of Nigerian citizens? That's a question from one of our listeners. Imam, did you get the question?
I get it.
Okay, there's another question. Sorry to them, just load you with the questions. For some people who have chosen to live the life of integrity, they have found pain, sufferings, and regrets. What words of advice can you give to such people to remain steadfast in a situation of daily trial for their character and integrity? Imam, we'll take this call as well. Hello, good morning. Assalamu alaikum. Hello. Network, I'm warning you. Okay, ma'am, please give response to those questions.
All right. The question regarding constitution and
Islamic values.
Islamic values. The constitution is not completely in contrast with Islamic values.
Right.
The areas where it's in line with the Islamic values, you uphold it.
True.
In any way that it contradicts the Islamic values, then to its level of its inconsistency is what we shun.
Okay.
Not the entire constitution.
True. Okay.
And to the best of my knowledge, when the constitution is talking about expectation of what's it called, citizens and thereabouts,
yes,
we have vast majority of them not against the Islamic values.
True.
Talking about making peace in the society, is that against Islamic values?
No, it's not.
Driving carefully, you know, different aspects of our laws in the country. So why do we conveniently go to court to fight For example, like Islamic dressing.
Yes.
Now we have right to dress Islamically in our country, and the constitution empowers us to do that.
Right.
Because we know that we have the right from it.
Yeah.
So it's still helping us to uphold the Islamic values.
Indeed.
But I'm not saying that there are no areas in our constitution that does not go against the Islamic values. That does not say we should shun the entire
constitution of the country.
Constitution, no.
Right.
It's only that area that would be avoided to the level of its inconsistency with Islamic laws values.
Right. And the second question about, you know, how do you stay focused? How do you maintain this integrity? You are going through so much. And I was going to ask you a question earlier, you know, about, you know, when you can't, you know, you have a job or you're trying to get a job and it doesn't go with your values. Where is Tula seeing this, you know, the rule? When can I use that joker card? When can I play that card?
Don't let us lie to ourselves.
Right.
You know yourself.
Okay, Mom, let's try this call one more time. Hello, good morning. Yeah. Salaam alaikum.
Yeah, salaam alaikum. Good
finally,
morning.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Yes. Morning, sir.
So, yeah, this is Mahmoud on the line from Akuti.
Okay, Mr. Mahmoud, please go ahead with your contribution.
Thank you so much. I want to particularly appreciate our Imam. In the studio.
Yes, sir.
Who have given us a lot today.
No.
And I'm really grateful for the way he merged with
integrity, indeed.
Integrity, yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
So, in fact, he has really done a very great job.
Alhamdulillah.
May Almighty Allah keep uplifting him.
Amin, Ya Rab.
Who that are making the program, you know, a success.
Alhamdulillah.
But I don't know if I can ask a question, please.
Please go ahead, sir. Just keep it short. Keep it short. We're out of time.
Yeah, it's going to be a very short one.
All right.
Please, I want to know, as a Muslim, in a kind of country we find ourselves, Nigeria, as a case study, at what point are the scholars, you know, are to speak out or to correct the government or to talk to the government? In any form befitting,
okay,
to make sure or to ensure that things are, you know,
yes,
done in line with the qualities we have just been talking about.
Right, we got you, sir. Thank you so much. Jazakumullah khairan. Imam, let's wrap it up with the response to Mr. Mahmoud's question.
All right, Jazakumullah khairan, Mr. Mahmoud. Regarding scholars and correcting the government.
Scholars at all times are meant to speak up on the minbar, speaking generally on what is expected of every individual, both the citizen and the leaders. But when correction has to do with specific acts of a particular leader, maybe, for example, a leader took a rash decision, an unhealthy decision, and needs to be addressed. Then the position of Islam is that scholars will appoint
representatives
from themselves and walk up to the government to go and analyze the effect of this, the position of the dean on it, and why it has to be changed. This one is not to be discussed
publicly
on the member.
No.
Yes. You have to walk in to the member. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabiullah Musa when he wanted to go to
Imam. We're out of time. We need to wrap it up just in a few
when
seconds.
When he wanted to go to Fir'aun,
no,
he told him Fir'aun was in position of leadership. And he told him, go to Fir'aun. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ لَيِّنًا. Tell him, talk to him with leniency. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Maybe he will get reminded and fear Allah regarding your speech. So these are methods we use to correct specific actions of government. But general, we have to continue speaking on the minbar every now and then.
All right. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you so much, Imam. And thank you to the entire crew of WFM making it a smooth sail journey. And of course, MPAC, Muslim Public Affairs Center, for bringing this your way. We'll see you same time next week, Bismillah, with another beautiful episode of Everyday Muslim. My name is Amina Adams. I'll see you then. Assalamu alaikum.